The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we welcome you back. It is time to head to Lexington, which we will be doing a little bit later in the week for real. Chris Rodriguez Jr. joins us. We had a conversation with Kentucky's great running back a few weeks ago after a big win, and they've done it again. Chris, congratulations. You guys continue to amaze. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing great. We're heading up to Lexington to do our show Friday and Saturday because the Cats are really one of the big stories in the SEC. I know you knew that was going to happen, but we didn't. How have you gotten to this point?
I think it's just by hard work. When the coaches first came in, they had a plan, and we just kind of stuck to it. We know what we wanted to get done, and it just took everybody. And I think everybody knows what we want to do, and I think we're just going to keep doing what we're doing.
You guys don't make it look easy either. The Missouri game was tight. Maybe it shouldn't have been. You had another tight game against a non-conference opponent, South Carolina. We expected a bigger margin. It was a little bit nerve-wracking, although the outcome was never in doubt. But this last game, the outcome was in doubt. A lot of big plays, and you participated in many of them. But how nerve-wracking was this game?
To be honest, it was really bad. But I'm just happy we pulled out the dub. The defense, they played their butts off. The O-line, everybody wanted to win this game, and you could tell.
Chris, anybody that's associated with the Kentucky football program knows the importance of that game, and I'm going to move ahead in a minute because I know Coach doesn't let you look back too long, so maybe he's not watching right now. But let me get one more question in on the Florida game, because it just seemed from a distance that game is almost as psychological as it is physical. When it was finally over, and those fans that have been waiting to see this for longer than you've been alive came rolling out onto that field, what was it like for you and your teammates?
Yeah, so, for me, I think it's like you don't really – like living those moments for real. That's like something like you watch other games and it happens and you're like, man, like I want to know how it feels. What does it feel like? And then it actually happens and you're like, whoa, like did this just happen? And for me, I was just kind of like, this is amazing. Like at first I didn't even see the fans come to the field until I turned around and I just seen like 10 people, and I'm like, what are they doing? And then it was just a good feeling. Hopefully we can do that again. I mean, who knows?
Hey, the school was fined $250,000. I know that's standard operating procedure. You gonna cover it?
Huh?
I just figured you might. Maybe one day, okay?
One day, probably.
when you become a wealthy NFL player, maybe you can send that money back and say, "Hey, I just want to give my share of a great moment." But all kidding aside, and I said it would be my last question, but I'm gonna ask question 1A off of that. Very few of us have ever experienced anything that you experienced, and I know there's plenty left for you to do, but. Is that a moment that it's so overwhelming that are you thinking to yourself, this is one of the greatest moments of my career. I wish it would last forever. I mean, because it had to be just going through your eyes very quickly. And I know you probably wanted to slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, I did. But I was also like thinking this team, like I can't wait to get back on the field with them. Like just that energy and the energy that the fans gave off, it was amazing. I just, when the game was actually finally over, I was kind of upset. The fans were going crazy, and that was one of the best feelings, really, throughout the whole game.
So here we go. I know it's Tuesday and Coach Stoops has already moved on. you don't get look back. Have you been able to, have you been able to watch? I know you look at it in film, but have any of you guys gone back and watched it in real time, just in terms of, you know, the television part of it versus being graded?
No, I actually haven't, but I actually talked to my grandma the other day, and she was telling me, she said she watched the game 3 times in a row, and we win every time. So that's what I hope so.
where does she live, and where was she watching it from?
She's in McDonough, Georgia, from where I'm from.
Listen, I don't know your grandmother, but I hope she's okay, because grandmothers get a little more nervous than the players on the field.
Yeah, she said she was nervous, but she said she loved the game, so that was good.
She probably calls her friends over and say, I think Kentucky's going to win this game very late in the contest. So let me ask you to turn the page a little bit, and it's not like it gets any easier. You know what's ahead. Georgia in 2 weeks, LSU this weekend. They won the national championship 2 years ago, as everybody knows. Let's talk about what you see happening Saturday night in prime time. I mean, how is the preparation going?
You know, we just kind of take it day by day. We try to get better. You know, coach kind of talks to us about, you know, being where your feet are and taking that next step every week, like, prepare. Like, if you want to do it, it's not going to just come to you. There's certain steps you're going to have to take to get to where you want to be. So we kind of come out on Monday, kind of, you know, do our little plays that we messed up during the game. And then on Tuesday, we kind of just think about, okay, well, it's time to move forward. And don't worry about Saturday right now, because we're going to have wrinkles and mistakes. It's just, how are you going to fix those mistakes throughout the week to be ready for Saturday? And that's really what we're doing right now.
So is it difficult or is it easy, because it's instilled in you as an athlete, an elite athlete, to just become measured, quit thinking backwards, don't look ahead, just learn what's in front of you? I mean, I know that sounds easy. It's not, though.
No. So it is harder than what you would think. I mean, I've had trouble, you know, moving on from Saturday, because, like I said, it was just a once-in-a-lifetime experience. But, you know, Coach Stoops kind of tells us, like, you know, it was fun, but you're going to have to move on from it. If you don't, then you'll get caught up in it, and we don't want that to happen. So I think we've done pretty good of moving forward from it.
Well, I feel like every question I ask is going to get you in bigger trouble, but I'm just gonna hang my head on what your grandmother said, because that's one of my favorite comments of the entire year. So, you be well, Chris. It's so great to see you. I hope you'll keep coming back, and the Cats are on quite a roll. Congratulations.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay.
You got it. Wow, what a fun interview with Chris Rodriguez Jr. Second time we have spoken to him this year, and he is just a delight to visit with. We're heading to a break right now. More of your phone calls after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back. Great to have all of you here. Tommy is up next in Kentucky after our conversation with Chris. So let's go to you. Hello, Tommy.
Say, Paul, you remember last week you and I took a trip down memory lane, was talking about WHAS and
yes,
K-Wood.
I do remember that.
But speaking of memories, Mullins must have a case of selective memory here. He said he recalled not ever being in a game where he was called for 15 penalties, and that was in his course of explaining why they lost, I think, part of it anyway. But he failed to recall, his memory, he'd ever been in a game where his coaching a team failed to score on 8 attempts inside the 10-yard line. Funny how that didn't come into play when he talks about the how the loss was to Kentucky there. Paul, you're going to be in Lexington Friday, is that correct?
Yes, we are.
Say, I tell you what, I'm gonna try my best to get down and say hi to you.
Well, I hope you do. Friday afternoon, we'll be there all afternoon, and usually pretty quiet. The crowds don't show up in mass until Saturday, so I hope you do, and I certainly look forward to it, Tommy. You come down. Ed is also in Kentucky. Hello, Ed.
Hey, yeah. Glad
hey there.
To take my call. How
sure.
are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just calling regarding Don earlier, claiming it was ludicrous.
What, for those who don't remember, including myself, what did she say?
Well, he was claiming it was ludicrous that Mullen out-coached
Stoops. I'm sorry. I do remember that. Yeah, I agree.
The only thing I don't understand, he was talking about yardage, saying Florida had a lot more yardage than Kentucky, which they'd had 382 and Kentucky had like 224.
Who cares?
But the only thing, and that's what I'm saying. Better coaching would manufacture more points on less yardage.
Yeah, well, first of all, the goal, you're not judged by how many yards you rack up. You're judged by how many points you get.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well,
thank
I'm glad we agree totally. Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Let's check out Corky in Fort Worth. Hello, Corky.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
You hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm looking at LSU's schedule, and I see them losing 3 for sure, maybe all of their games. So when this happened, Coach O will get fired. Do you think he'll get another job at a big-time school or what? I'm going to just listen to you now.
Yeah, it all depends. His biggest problem right now isn't going to be his record, assuming he leaves. It's going to be the off-the-field issues. Those can haunt you. And right now, we don't know enough about them. But until that is cleared up, I think it will hurt him in reference to the future. Now, his next 5 games, we put that chart up on the screen. It's dangerous. Favored or not, being the FPI favorite doesn't make you win the game. We see that every weekend. There are big upsets. Tennessee was a big upset, but this is the reality. Right now he's sitting at 3-2. He's at Kentucky. He's got Florida, Ole Miss, Alabama, and Arkansas. The Kentucky and Arkansas games would really be considered 50-50, but the Florida, Ole Miss, and Alabama games, he would be an underdog. And, I'm just trying to do the math. Should he go 3-2, which I think is realistic, then that puts him with 5 losses with Monroe as in A&M. And yeah, I don't know if – I think at that point, I think the decision on him would probably be made. I think the dangerous stretch is Florida and Ole Miss. Let's say he – let's say he loses Kentucky, Florida, and Ole Miss. He's got a bye week there before Alabama. And I've seen this before. I've seen athletic directors make changes around something like that to give the program a chance to breathe, exhale. And it doesn't always happen like that. But, you know, if you're Scott Woodward, who is the athletic director, you know what's going on. You hear it every day. If you're sitting in Baton Rouge right now, if you're at a local coffee shop or breakfast place, Coach O's future is being discussed, whether we like it or not. And you know, almost everybody that we talk to loves Coach O, and there's good reason to when you look at what he stands for and what he's accomplished. But ultimately, you live or die by your one loss record. And people don't have long memories in this business, as we know. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's talk to John next in Gainesville. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hey there. Good afternoon.
I'd like to talk a little bit about Florida recruiting.
Okay.
They recruit pretty well. They're often ranked 8th, 9th, 10th in recruiting ratings. But the state of Florida and Georgia and Alabama turn out an incredible number of football players. And Florida's right in the middle of it. And they seem to be missing out on a lot of the very top, top players. You were here a couple of weeks ago. They're building an all-in-one football facility next to the swamp. Did you see that?
Yes, and I wonder, and that's great, but that doesn't help very much. That didn't help last year. And meanwhile, no. Georgia has a brand new facility. Alabama's, yes. Texas A&M's, and ultimately, and this is coming from players that I speak with and other people that are involved in recruiting, that matters a great deal. And when Florida finally gets that open, it will help them immensely.
Yes, it will also organize the recruiting, and perhaps they could spend a little more time and money and effort on some of this recruiting stuff. But 10 years ago, Jeremy Foley told everybody, we're not getting in an arms race when it came to building facilities. And I guarantee there's 12 SEC schools that have great all-in-one facilities. Only Vanderbilt is still planning theirs. So Florida's way behind the ball there.
John, you're right. And for all the praise that Jeremy Foley gets, and he does get a lot, you can't make statements like that in today's world. Now, that was a long time ago, but that proved to be an ill-fated decision on his part.
But, you know, it continued. They hired Jim McElwain, and part of the reason they pulled him here is all the things what we're going to build. So they started with an indoor facility, and it was going to be 70 yards long. And McElwain had to go public in the newspapers and embarrass university and tell everybody, I want a 100-yard field to practice on.
Right.
And he got it. But not much later, he talked his way out of this job. I don't think he wanted to be here.
I don't either, because he knew the problems. But, you know, Florida, you know, for all of its success, and you can't argue with what Steve Spurrier did and what Urban Meyer did, it does tend to get in its own way sometimes.
Yeah, and Dan Mullen is not the used car salesman that Urban Meyer was, okay? He's kind of a nerdy guy, a family guy, and he's not always be closing great salesmen. But I guess the university needs to hire more of those types, because once they build the all-in-one, once it's as nice as everyone else, they won't have any excuses of not pulling in the best of the best, as Urban Meyer used to say.
John, I don't understand, and I mean, forgetting what we just got through talking about, but to me, Florida should be on the same level as Alabama and Georgia. That should never be in dispute.
Well, they've held up this all-in-one because first they had to build a baseball stadium because they had to put it where the old baseball field was, so that was a whole nother year.
Right.
And then they had to rebuild the softball stadium and all this stuff. The kids live in old dormitories instead of the nice places that you see around the SEC. It's a hurdle to climb.
I understand that, but my argument is it is such a fantastic school. People don't talk about that enough, but being there, I was there 2.5 weeks ago, you couldn't help but run into all the accolades about the academics. And I know that people will say, well, don't give me that. It does matter, though, to parents. Parents like to hear that stuff.
Yes. But the kids, that's their far off future. Right now they're thinking about, well, where am I going to stay? And what's
sure.
When the Gators want to practice, they have to get dressed in the swamp. And then they walk out of the swamp and down the sidewalk and across the street to get into the practice facility.
I know. I've made that walk before.
And back in the day when they wore metal cleats, you could hear them going clickety-clack, clickety-clack, down the sidewalk.
Well, John, you laid it out. I appreciate your call because I do think you have to factor these things in. And that's one thing I heard when I was there, that, hey, this place is going to be great. Well, it's not great today, and Georgia's is. And Alabama's is, and so it's too bad that, but you know, decisions being made today will affect the future. But you can't take off the arms race anymore, like it or not. And let's be honest, it's out of control. But when you factor in how much money is being made by these programs and how much money they're getting from entities like the one that you're watching this show on, it's mind-boggling. Okay, enough of that. Let's get to the break, and then more of your phone calls the rest of the way.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And let's see, James is up next in Florida. Hello, James.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
You know, I had a few questions. You know, as crazy as college football has been this year, you know, with teams like Clemson, Notre Dame, you know, falling off, I was just going to ask you, who do you think could be that, you know, underdog dark horse that can slide into the playoff?
Well, I think Saturday's game between Penn State and Iowa is very interesting because, you know, should Iowa win and they're a slight favorite, I think they're going to be in a really strong position. Penn State's schedule is maybe a little more complex because they have to deal with both Michigan and Iowa State. And I think after that, it is really a mystery. Does Ohio State come back? Does Oregon claw its way back in? Is Cincinnati a legitimate playoff team? They've been really great so far, but their schedule does not help them the rest of the way. So I think those are the schools that that you focus on the first.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, with Ohio State this season, you know, the Big Ten is, like, really tough. I think in the past couple years, this is definitely the toughest it's been with Michigan State, Penn State, Iowa. So, you know, I think it'll be rough for Ohio State, but I think Cincinnati, if they can win out and do what they got to do, and they could definitely have a shot, like, based off how college football has been going this season. And then, you know, the next question for you I have is, you know, with how do you think Georgia's schedule is? How do you think they're going to be doing with the schedule? Because I think they go undefeated. But just to get your take on it, how do you think that's going to go down?
Yeah, right now, I think Georgia will be undefeated when it gets to Atlanta. I'm trying to think, where could they slip up? Auburn is dangerous. Kentucky, Florida, and, Tennessee. Tennessee now looks like a more challenging game than maybe we would have thought before the season. But I don't see a game in there that I would be very concerned about right now.
Yeah, like you said, I think Auburn, I think we can walk through that just because I just think how good our defense has been playing. And I think later, we've had a lot of offensive injuries this season. And I think our offense is getting better as the season keeps moving forward. And, even I think the rest of the season is just going to be a walkthrough until the SEC championship against Alabama.
And then it becomes, you try to win the game and then see where everyone ends up. Now, could something happen? Sure. But I think this Georgia defense is just built they're too stout. Hey, thank you very much for the call. How about Bo in Louisiana? Hello, Bo.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Okay. I don't know if you played it earlier in the show or the word, but I don't know if you heard the press conference with Coach O when a reporter suggested maybe since Jake Peets, their offensive coordinator, is having issues getting plays in, maybe it'd be a good idea to bring Steve Ensminger back to kind of like be.
Yeah, I heard about that. And I think he said it was a good idea, didn't he?
Yeah, that's mind blowing. Why a reporter suggesting something in week five and it's a good idea? It was a good idea week one. This guy's never been an offensive coordinator before. You know what I'm saying? Like, why is a reporter having to suggest
I think this is one of his undoings, and I know people will say he won a national championship 2 years ago, but his coaching personnel selection has been really terrible. I think the hiring of Bo Pelini is absolutely one of the worst coordinator hires I've seen at a major SEC school in a long time. And
I don't even know if he interviewed him.
Yeah, no, we didn't. And I don't know enough about where he is right now. It just seemed a little bit gimmicky, trying to piggyback off of what we saw with Joe Brady. And I think Ensminger certainly he's still around as an analyst. And but you're right. It should have dawned on Coach O after the UCLA game that maybe Ensminger could help out a little bit more than he was planning on.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, what's bad is we're tied down with a $21 million buyout and for Coach O. So, I mean, really, you were saying
but that's where you go. I mean, I think he was deserving of the money, but. You tell me, even after he won the national championship, was there a single program in America, pro or college, that was making an attempt to hire Ed Orgeron?
No, I mean, he fits for Louisiana, but Louisiana or LSU needs a good coach. They don't need a good personality, and that's what he is. A great personality. He makes his jokes, and he has his catch lines and rips off his shirt and all that, and that's nice and all, but at the end of the day, players need a coach to develop them and have them ready each Saturday. I mean, that's just my
opinion. Listen, there's no sugarcoating it. He's in trouble. I'm not here to mislead the audience. I think that's self-explanatory. And as Stinch said about an hour ago, it really every week is going to become a referendum on him. And I don't remember anything quite like this, even with some of the other coaching hires. Malzahn last year, it started to build up. Even with Muschamp, you could tell he was in trouble. But those guys don't exactly have Coach O's resume. But a lot of it has been self-inflicted. And what we just got through talking about, I think, is a big part of it. Let's talk to Matt in New Orleans. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great.
My neighbor just told me, guy jumps in bed. woman says, "You're drunk." He says, "Hey, how did you know that?" He says, "Well, you live next door." But wait, wait, look. I come outside, and we lost our roof in Ida. We're always losing something in these storms. But we lost our roof. And so we're like the only people in the neighborhood without any political clout. But anyway, everybody's got the blue roof up. So the guy jokingly tells me, he says, you don't have a blue roof? And I said, "I don't want no silly blue roofs." Actually, I quoted whatever Coach Jones said. What did I tell him, Mama? I said, "I don't want no sissy blue roofs." Next day, they got a blue roof on my roof.
That is great.
Thank God. But anyway, I thought you'd enjoy it.
That was great.
I'm on the, look, you know, I went through the trauma when Y.A. died. That I'm not anything in the world I wanted to beat Auburn that time. And there's the yin and the yang. You know, the Lord recognizes everyone. And Lord knows that Bo Nix played the same game that Danny Etling found in him by tossing that ball to Foster Morrow at the right time. He found those same things in his heart to perform. And I couldn't help but take my cap off to the fella. I loved his play. I despise losing. You know, who likes to lose? You know, it was all off my foot. But I can tell you that that game in itself was a great, great play for a great, great college player. Will he make it in the pros? I don't know, sir. But I wanted to answer your question, if I may.
Of course.
And that was yesterday, that who would I hire? Well, I can answer it with that I would hire Coach O, but you know that I'm a Coach O nut. However, can you tell me Jimbo Fisher would have gotten Joe Burrow to come down here and play for him? No way. All of Coach O's quirkiness and jokes and crawfish, you know, the guy fell in love with him. What he liked especially was both he and the dad, their conversation leaving when he decided to come. The dad and Coach O said, "This kid knows more football than the both of us." So I think that, you know, he really got hurt when he lost Aranda. He can't replace Aranda.
No, nobody can.
And so, you know, I don't know. And he made some horrible hires. The Bo Pelini hire, I was reading one of these analysts, that one of these guys, like he was Rabelais or one of those famous guys, you know. And they said he should have given Bo another year. He didn't give him enough time. Well, when he hired him, a lot of people saying, "Oh, this guy's passé. And anyway, I don't know. But I do know that when it comes to personality, that Coach O can just charm you to come there, you see? And people like him, especially athletes like Johnson's boy. You know, Big Brad Johnson, this is a coach, you know? He's a lot like old Coach on, what was that, Cheers, you know?
Sure.
And, you know, you just love him and you play for him. And a guy like that was Vince Gibson. And when he came to Tulane, they asked him, they said, "You know, Coach, you can keep this job forever. You're looking to retire." He says, they said, "All you have to do is every once or twice a decade, if you could beat LSU, you know." And he did. He beat them two times running. They fired him. He said, "Well, if you could beat LSU, you should be able to beat some of these other jumps on your schedule."
I like that. Vin,
I love you, Paul.
He was a great coach.
The show has been fantastic.
Thank you.
But I'm going to tell you one thing, if I may.
Please.
All right. Are you there?
Yeah, of course.
You know, legend ain't Johnny Mac Brown or Bear Bryant, you know. He's a pretty tough guy. I wouldn't, if I went to the joint, I wouldn't want to be in his cell. I'd rather go in there with Mike Tyson or somebody that would just hit you and kill you one time. This guy sounds really tough. I love you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.